I'm going to use this as a teaching moment for all of those who give sermonettes and all of those who may give sermonettes in the future. And that is this. The purpose of a sermonette is not for a large doctrinal subjects. You can't do a large doctrinal subject in a sermonette. It's just not designed for it. In 10 to 12 minutes is where a sermonette goes, and you can't do a large doctrinal subject. It's not for correction of the congregation. That should be for the pastor to do. A sermonette should be something like short stories, a personal story, something that is edifying for everyone if you lived it for yourself, a lesson, you know, some lesson that you've learned. It can also be an explanation of a single scripture, maybe a difficult scripture, or the meaning of a scripture in a particular context, or a scripture that is enlightened by the definition of a Greek or Hebrew word. It can be an analogy. You can use an analogy of something that is short and pithy and has a lesson to it. That's the thing of a sermonette. I'd like to start my sermonette. It was about 1961, early, and we were sitting in our living room in our little small apartment in Bethany, Oklahoma, with an FBI agent. He was well-dressed, and he came to talk to me about, because I was listed as the pastor of the church, and he came to talk to me by one of our congregation who was a conscientious objector. And that day they had the draft and conscription. And he wanted to know about this young man who was supposed to be a part of our church and his objections. So we sat and we talked with him, and he was very nice. Molly offered him some coffee, and we offered him some cookies, and he was a well-dressed, handsome-looking man, well-kept, you know, in his body and everything. And he sat there, and he was finished with us. So to speak, you know, we discussed everything we needed to discuss, and then he said, I wish I could sit here with you guys all day. And I said, oh, you know, why? And he said, because when I leave here, I have to go after a three-time loser. You know, I've got to go after someone who's dangerous. And I said, are you carrying a gun? And he said, yes. I said, well, how do you train for your guns? How do you? He said, well, we have to have so many, in order to stay as qualified as an FBI agent, you have to have so many kill shots every day. You know, we have to go to the range, and it has to be in the kill zone. I said, well, do you draw your gun immediately? Or he said, no, we are trained for quick draw. And he said, we don't usually go, but he said, when we do pull the gun on someone, we shoot. If we shoot, we shoot to kill. I said, wow. He said, we don't shoot to wound. We shoot to kill. And this was the 1960s. And I thought about that, and he has to have so many shots each time on these targets in the kill zone to maintain your position, to your place in the FBI. And then I wished him well, and he said, you know, he was sad. You could tell he did not want to go. And I wished him well. I said, well, you know, good luck, you know, and everything, and, you know, I hope that everything works out for you, you know, and he said, this is going to be dangerous. And I thought about that. Shoot to kill. You know, I wondered about all of us, and myself included, when I read this passage in the book of Colossians, chapter 3. And verse 5. Therefore, consider your members of your earthly body as dead. They need to be dead. And some places say mortify. Mortify the members of your body, such as immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. So here we're supposed to put to death these kinds of things. And now look at this. Verse 8, now also put them aside. You know, put them aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. So we're supposed to put to death some of these passions. But what I think for myself and some of us periodically, I've noticed in myself, sometimes I shoot to miss. I don't put those things down as strongly as I would like. I don't make the absolute. I don't put it to death. I don't shoot to kill it. I shoot to wound it. I shoot to miss it. I shoot to just graze it. Unlike the FBI agent. When he goes, he shoots to kill. And in Galatians chapter 5, over a few chapters, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24, here's what it says. Galatians 5 and verse 24. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh, have killed it, crucified it. That's what they did back then. Today we shoot. You know, we don't crucify you. We execute you. We shoot you. We do. Have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. We've crucified it. We've put it to death. But sometimes I think we don't shoot to kill. Sometimes I think we practice shooting to wound, shooting to miss, shooting to graze, because we really sometimes don't want to get rid of these passions. You need to take a lesson from the FBI agent. He wasn't going out there for games. This wasn't a play game. It was life and death to him. And Christianity and God's way is life and death to us. Those evil desires and sins that so easily beset us, when we come across them, we need to be like him, the FBI agent. We need to shoot to kill.